Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining me today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. As you know, surely by now, we'll be streaming broadly and widely, casting the net far and wide as best we can for the initial part. Please turn that off, thank you. For the initial part of the show. But then we will be available only on the sweet stream of freedom that we call Rumble, our home. Our sweet home. We got an incredible show today because, for a start, there have now been explicit threats by Russia to begin a nuclear conflict. Like, they're literally listing targets and dealing with the logistics. We would bomb this part and then we will bomb this part. And like, you're watching it and you're thinking, well, I'm not American. I'm making this show. Like, I mean, I don't mean to be mean because I know you are American. I'm not American. I'll be okay. And then, like, the news anchor goes on to say, well, of course, Great Britain will be submerged underwater. You won't believe this. It's becoming astonishingly real. Meanwhile, what the legacy media and the Biden administration are collectively offering us is the opportunity to regard them as a kind of family. There are three pieces of separate, I don't want to use the word propaganda, because there are people involved in this propaganda that over the years I've admired, met, and like. You know how it is, the culture's changed so quickly, so fast, so radically. Mind you, I don't know why I'd be protective after what's happened to me, after the various attacks and stuff. But what I'm saying is, there's like, you'll see, we're invited to regard Joe Biden as a paternal figure, as a grandfather and as a father, note that. And even Kamala as a kind of mother is extraordinary. We'll be looking at that in a minute. So stay with us. If you're watching us on YouTube, I appreciate it. It's a massive platform. We love you, Awaken Wonders, over there. We work so hard to build that community. We love you. We adore you. We appreciate you. But after the first 15 minutes, we're leaving for a conversation with Denis Kucinich, the American independent politician. And we're going to be talking about war, the escalation to war, the necessity for independent politics, for a new strain of politics. We're going to be talking about the surveillance state. You might not yet be an Awakened Wonder. If you want to become one, use the code ISURRENDER and become an Awakened Wonder over on Locals. We do additional content there. We make an additional video every week. But to tell you the truth, we're trying to build something special here. Every week we have a roster of meditation, reading. I mean, it's sort of influenced me and changed my trajectory and helped me to understand what my path is, in particular, as a Christian. We've got all sorts of extraordinary things coming up for you on Local. So consider that if you want to. Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about. We did a poll, didn't we, earlier, and we asked you what you wanted to see us talk about. Here's the results of that. The mainstream media say making babies is it far right? Is it right? Do you know what's actually quite racist? Go on. Having babies. What if some of those babies are a variety of races? Doesn't matter. It's far right. Having babies is far right. What's going to be, let me know in the Rumble chat, what's going to be far right next? I don't know. I mean, we've had exercise is far right. Drinking milk, mowing the lawn is far right. It's extraordinary. Well, excuse me for being far right. Being right is far right. How about none of these categories are relevant anymore because the world is changing fast? A point made by Bobby Kennedy and the Trump Kennedy spat is on and escalating, and you better believe we'll be covering that. Russell, have you got a job? Kinda. I suppose I got a job. I don't know. You're going to have to clarify your terms. Love you, Russell. We are making the world a better place. I pray that I am. I'm doing my level best. Because we ain't got long. Because Russia ain't playing. Now, this is in Russian, so you're going to have to watch the, you're going to watch the subtitles, of course, if you're listening to this elsewhere, because this show is available as a podcast every single day. We stream the whole show as a podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Then, I guess I'm just going to tell you, they're saying that they're going to bomb America, they're going to bomb France, and they're going to bomb the UK. And they seem pretty serious, as always with Russia. It seems heavy, you know, the way they do stuff. So we'll be with you on YouTube for about another 10 minutes. Then you're going to have to click that link in the description. Get on over to Rumble. What happened to the pull-up contest? I'll tell you, mate, we've got some, we might have some updates on that. They're going to blow your little socks off. Okay, let's have a look. Now, this is a significant piece of news for those of you that want to carry on being alive and not be blasted into ashes in an apocalyptic event. Russia are seriously considering destroying the world because they're sick and tired of the NATO-US imperialist threat. Here they are saying that plainly and clearly, and here it is in their own language.
Если страны НАТО введут свои войска на Украину для того, чтобы нанести России стратегическое поражение, то тогда и наступит тот самый момент, о котором Путин как-то сказал. Зачем нам мир, если в нем не будет России? Тогда уж от нас полетит все и везде. И сарматы, и ярсы, и авангарды. Уже в прицелах американские центры принятия решений и пусковые установки на суше и на море.
I find that phrase rather chilling. First, they list the brand names of some of their artillery, and then the news anchor explicitly says certain American sites are already in our crosshairs. At which point I start to think, well, at the moment, I don't live in the United States of America, which is doubtless the epicenter of imperial power. Many of you will believe it's the greatest country in the world yet. Certainly the Democratic experiment or the Republican experiment, you know I don't care too much for those taxonomies, but the spirit of independence, the spirit of revolution, the spirit of independent freedom thrives there still, even though the Biden administration is trying to allay and subdue that under a fog of propaganda. That's coming up in a few seconds. Let's have a look at the continuing and escalating threat from Russian media.
Францию, как ядерную державу, придется мгновенно разоружить.
Right, France, you're out of the picture, you're going down.
Британские острова просто уйдут под...
The British Isles will simply go underwater. Checks map. Wait a minute! I live in the British Isles! What terrifies me about this is at the advent of this terrifying conflict and this escalation of hostilities, I'm pretty far from an expert on geopolitical and military matters, said, hey, you don't treat Russia the same way as you would treat one of the Middle Eastern nations that there have been military-industrial complex wars in the last 20 years because, you know, Russia are a military superpower with a long, successful military history. If we continue to threaten them and engage them in some purgatorial Afghanistan-style nightmare, using Ukraine as a vassal state to drain the resources of Russia in order to establish a unipolar power on behalf of the United States, but more specifically their globalist corporatist interests that have clear alliances with NGOs and three-letter, four-letter nightmares like the WHO and NATO, you'll ultimately arrive at a point where Putin will say there will be a nuclear war. Now, remember when Biden some years ago was saying, we can't do that, help me, third world war for Christ's sake. He was acknowledging it himself. It was clear in the rhetoric. Now, you know too, that when the Nord Stream pipeline happened and you went, Russia aren't going to blow up that pipeline. That's economically significant. Their ability to convey shale gas to Germany is pivotal and fundamental to their entire economy. What's more likely is that Navy SEALs or maybe some deep state Ukrainian or other NATO nation, yet to be, NATO nation will have enacted this crime. And remember, the Nord Stream pipeline insurers won't pay out on that. Sorry, we don't cover you for sabotage acts conducted by Jocko Willink. I'm not saying Jocko Willink did it. I merely remember Jocko Willink because when that was going down, Jocko Willink came on our show. I said, Jocko, could the Navy SEALs have done this? And sure. Like, sort of like the Navy SEALs could have done it while sort of snacking. They could have done that. So what is most astonishing about the ongoing escalation of hostilities between NATO nations, Ukraine and Russia is that you and me, people that haven't had the privilege of a Harvard education, people that don't have access to Pentagon files, people that aren't on the inside of the deep state military industrial complex machine would say, if you keep provoking Russia, won't that lead to a nuclear war? Well, guess what? It looks like it actually might, unless there is an intervention. Now, doesn't it astonish you, trouble you even, that you, as a subject or citizen or member of whatever nation you're watching this from, have literally no say? You're funding this escalation. You're funding the CIA bases in Ukraine. You're funding the $95 billion aid package that enables Ukraine to continue what will ultimately, I would assume, be a futile fight, either futile on the basis that Russia will ultimately win a conflict if indeed it is between Ukraine and Russia, or if it continues to be supported by proxy nations like the United Kingdom and the United States, it will escalate to the point of nuclear war. So wouldn't it have been a lot better? Tell me how. Tell me what I'm missing here. Wouldn't it have been a lot better if the deal between Putin and Zelensky that was available a couple of years ago, before 600,000 Ukrainian lives were lost, before billions of dollars were spent, before numerous disasters, numerous cities, endless debris were incurred, that a diplomatic solution was on the table? No wonder they went into a meltdown and panic attack when Tucker Carlson spoke to Putin and we got to hear the information straight from the horse's mouth. We're not naive to think that there's no such thing as Russian propaganda. Of course there's such a thing as Russian propaganda. There's probably even such a thing as Russian agents. Lord alone knows there are CIA carve-outs that accuse me of being funded by Russia. They've made that accusation. They've made that content. They've funded Ukrainian media, specifically Ukrainian Vox, to make the exact allegation. You can check that out for yourself. But what isn't propaganda is that Russia are a military superpower. If you do not allow them to have their own trajectory, their own agenda, whether you agree with it or not, you are ultimately provoking a power that can wreak havoc. This is not Iraq. This is not Afghanistan. This is not one of those rollover nations that the military industrial complex can keep the checks coming in by provoking a nation that can't respond on their own terms. In your nation, since the Vietnam War, this whole modality, this economic modality of the economy of war has been failing. Even those that have pointed out that this is the economic model under which the United States succeeds or flourishes, and I don't mean American people. I'm talking about Julian Assange, of course, who says the purpose of Afghanistan was not to end the conflict, it was to sustain the conflict. That way you can keep funding the war, using public money, transferring it into private hands, keeping the whole racket going. Or who was it? Which one of your presidents was it that said simply, war is a racket? Now, Russia are capable of propaganda. There's no question of that. All nations are capable of propaganda, misleading or framed information, narrativization, call it what you will. But do you want to take that chance? Let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments. And the very next thing this anchor says, after saying the British Isles will be submerged underwater, it's the new Atlantis, is this is not propaganda.
Технологии для этого имеются. И мы о них как-то рассказывали. Но лучше до такого не доводить. И это не пропаганда.
So, whatever you think about that, the man himself there says it's not
propaganda. I believe that we should use the collective might of our nations to bring about diplomatic solutions rather than exacerbate potential Armageddon. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments and the chat? We make this content for you every single day. We've got plenty more to talk about because, wow, what do you want to know? Do you want to see Nancy Pelosi continuing to hawk Russiagate narratives? Oh, that's Russian misinformation. Or accusing MSNBC of being Trump apologists. Or, I mean, like this, it's an embarrassment of riches. I'm going to save it for you. I'm going to save, this is amazing. This is a psyop. The psyop. Now, I'm going to go straight to it. I love this. The psyop where we're being in, hey, you love family life, right? Family's not a place where you receive trauma, is it? Growing up was fantastic, wasn't it? Well, how apposite it is then that there is a media narrative being spun now to invite us to regard the Biden administration as a kind of warped family. A little more Adams and Manson than mom and pop, but family nonetheless. Here's Howard Stern, a man who, I've got to say, was an innovator in media, a brilliant, brilliant provocateur. But in this interview, it seems that he is pretty heavily dedicated to kind of ideologically fellating, ornamenting Joe Biden. Now, it's semi-tragic, I would say, that Joe Biden is almost unable to respond to this. Joe Biden, even as he's being complimented, he's not able to sort of nod or smile or raise an eyebrow. Because as you know by now, and I take no joy in saying this, Joe Biden is extremely old. And not only incapable of the extraordinary office of the world's most powerful person, but also he's struggling to receive a compliment. Let's have a look.
And you're the kind of leader I love because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country.
Okay, so it's as simple as that. If you're a good father to your family, and I suppose by that he means, you know, he does go out of his way to get Hunter Biden work, it seems. He's willing, and I'm not making an allegation here, it seems like he's willing to use his connections to get Hunter Biden that Burisma gig, shall we say. So, okay, that's fair enough. And if this was a one-off incident, it would be a brilliant and happy coincidence. But this language of family and familiarity is eerily present in several distinct pieces of state propaganda. You'll see in a minute an interview between Kamala Harris and Drew Barrymore, who I also actually adore and think is fantastic. I mean, it's Drew Barrymore from E.T., for God's sake. Who doesn't love Drew Barrymore? Who doesn't love E.T.? And Colin Jost from the great, formerly great institution SNL, making great avuncular praise of Joe Biden, or more specifically, he doesn't say he's uncle, like he says he's like a grandfather. This is reductive. This is simplification. This is a psyop. This is the invitation for you to look at a failing administration as somehow a family. We ain't perfect, but we're trying our best. Your mom's your mom, your dad's your dad, and your grandpappy's your grandpappy. And what the hell if they're waging war and supporting war and lying and inflating the threat of a political opponent in order to prevent you having any alternatives. They're still just your family. Let's stay with Stern and Biden for a while, but there's plenty more examples to show you of this family psyop. You are being induced into Stockholm syndrome with your own government. This is extraordinary.
And I want to thank you for providing a calming influence, an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point. Getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin, the incredible large growth in the jobs.
I mean, what is this bizarre eulogy stroke homily? And what is Joe Biden doing grasping the shaft of that mic stand like it's a cane or a defibrillator? And why is Howard Stern, this great orator, provocateur, brilliant innovator in media, essentially doing a live version of Michael Jackson's song, Ben, to Joe Biden? Ben, the two of us need look no more. While Joe Biden just stares. We've both found what we've been searching for. What's Joe Biden's reaction to this?
Employment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. knocking off a few ISIS leaders, cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
You've always been an environmentalist. This is astonishing. Don't you, like, think it's really weird? Like, you are you, right? So you know what your life's like. Wait a minute. I know what I'm experiencing. I'm really, really dreadfully unhappy. The world is falling apart. There's a total lack of investment in the infrastructure of the United States, the schools, health services, law and order, the border crisis, and then just people turn up on your TV set to say, no, it's fantastic. Here's a list of how great things are. COVID was brilliant fun. The vaccine was a success. These wars in the Middle East are brilliant. You are a decent man. And provoking Russia into a nuclear war? That's excellent. Getting your son a job at Burisma? You are a great peppy. I love you.
Even the marijuana reform laws, enough with sitting there and fighting that battle. Respect for Marriage Act? What the hell is with people with this gay stuff? Who cares if someone's gay?
Is anyone still concerned? Like, I don't even remember the last time that had to be addressed as a subject. Whether you are an atheist, a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew, who knows what words might be unraveled from within the great scriptures. But on a daily basis, I pray the conversation around people's right to love one another is not one that needs to be elevated to the forefront as if, do you know what the great success is of the Biden administration? Gay people. Thank God. Because under the Trump administration, gay people were having a hell of a time. But now Biden came in and he made it okay and safe to be gay. Because before Biden, it was not right what was happening.
How is it affecting anybody? People in love, it's good, right? Love is good.
My dad, we saw two men kissing one another in Rodney Square when I was going in to get a license. I looked at him, he said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other.
That's it. That's how I look at it.
Me and my dad, we saw Rodney King getting beaten by some policemen. We said, that's it. That's just a great day for America.
He's just sort of grabbing language from the sky at this point, isn't he, Joe Biden? This idea to regard Joe Biden as decent, that's a word that came up a lot in the White House press conference dinner, and I predict that decent and familial linguistics, language, and nomenclature will play a big part of the presidential campaign. That you'll be invited to look at familiarity as comfort. That, sure, Joe Biden's not great. We can't even begin to pretend that he's great. We can't offer you a vision. We can't tell you how we're going to steer the world through the various impending crises. But he is decent, and he's a bit like your dad or your granddad. Or your grandma, or someone, something familiar. Let's have a look at how they've applied the same mentality. I'm speaking specifically now of Drew Barrymore, who I would say is, I just love Drew Barrymore, and she's a great person. But and I reckon, look, I've been a Hollywood insider, and you don't sort of know one minute you're sort of on X Factor, you're doing these things, you don't realise people are just all here. In fact, they don't know. I don't reckon that Drew Barrymore was would have twigged, oh, you're being invited to apply a nickname to Kamala Harris that invites us to see her as a parental figure. I don't figure that it goes exactly like that. I don't figure it's like that. But this is interesting. So we've just seen Howard Stern, you're like a father, you're a good father, you're like my father. And then what does Joe Biden say? Yeah, me and my father, we was watching some gays kissing in Rodney Square. Okay, well, that's just regular family life. Me and my dad just settling down for some popcorn. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Now let's have a look at Drew Barrymore using the same technique to normalize, familiarize Kamala Harris, who seems to me to be somewhere between unusual and inept, to offer a succinct diagnosis.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Now, I'm pursuing a new way of life. I've surrendered and repented. I want to see the good in everybody, and I urge you to do the best in whatever way seems right to you to do the same. But it's extraordinary, isn't it, to see propaganda live in action. Kamala Harris is a human being. She's a child of God, whatever language suits you. But, you know, the idea that Kamala Harris is going to wrap her arms around us and that Joe Biden is kind of like a father or a grandfather is reductive. It's insulting. That is not the political solution that's required. Looking at the extraordinary cluster of mega crises that need to be brilliantly navigated with radical systemic change that requires radical new systemic thought, a new analysis of precisely the economic, ecological, ideological challenges that we're facing is not enough to invite you to be once more infantilized. And note how many times the invitation to become an infant is offered. You can't choose for yourself which content to look at. Why don't you let Daddy Joe and Mamala Harris put their arms around you and their hand over the screen, and they'll decide what information to censor for you. You can't decide whether or not you should take a certain medication. Let the state decide. You can't decide what's misinformation and disinformation. Let the state decide. Let your family decide. You're just a little kid. Now go to work and give us a significant portion of your daily earnings so we can be mom and pop and you can be a very dumb little kid. Or as Colin Jost off SNL, again, another formerly great American institution would have it, Grandpappy Joe. Let's have a look.
I lost my grandfather this year, as you alluded to, a firefighter, William Kelly. And I swear, Mr. President, this is not an age comparison.
Because a grandfather's old and Joe Biden's old. We're really, the gloves are off now, man. Woo! Bloody hell, cool it down. Whoa, look at this free press. What, could you believe that? That guy, the comedian, he just said that grandfather, and then he mentioned Joe Biden, and that's old and old. That could be derogatory because age is part of the process of moving towards the grave, a grave that we're all approaching because, you know, Joe Biden might be crazily steering us towards Armageddon. You know, like we could have a nuclear apocalypse. I mean, Russia have just explicitly stated they're considering nuclear attacks on the American on the American mainland. But woohoo! Oh, really? That's really helped me let off some steam there. This, everything's working. The establishment's working. The propaganda's flowing. They're beginning to show their hand. It's beginning to fall apart. It's becoming plainly visible to any one of us. We can see what they're doing. The cracks are emerging. But you'd have to be smoking crack to believe this propaganda.
You remind me of him. Some of your best qualities remind me of his. He voted for you, and the reason that he voted for you is because you're a decent man.
Decent. Decent. There's no need to think anymore. Don't think about the border crisis. Don't think about the escalating wars. Don't think about your own ontological despair, the decline in meaning, the loss, the atrophy of a once great nation. Don't think about why Donald Trump is in court for a minor legislative misdemeanor conflated, inflated, and amplified into a felony in order to take the guy off the ride. Because remember, Trump is bad. You don't need to think about that. They told you. And anything that swayed you from that perspective, that was probably misinformation and disinformation.
My grandpa voted for decency, and decency is why we're all here tonight. Decency is how we're able to be here tonight.
Julian Assange is in jail in the UK. He's been there for 5 years. He's awaiting extradition because he published information in conjunction with some of the media organizations that are in that room right now. Earlier at the White House press correspondent dinner, you heard the astonishing fact that over 100 journalists, maybe as many as 175 journalists, have died in Gaza. What was not mentioned is how they died, why they died, and who supplied the weaponry. Because if you were to outline that, the answer is very simple. It's that very decent, lovely old grandfather sat right there, Joe Biden.
And when you look at the levels of freedom throughout history and even around the world today, this is the exception. This freedom is incredibly rare. And the journalists in this room help protect that freedom, and we cannot ever take that for granted.
even they, look at their faces, even they know that's not true. They can't even get it up for their own propaganda. They know that in your thousands, you are turning away from legacy media because, like me, you are awakening. Like me, you have understood their deception, their treachery, and their lies. Even if you've worked in legacy media, even if you've enjoyed the artifacts of legacy media, the comedy shows, the movies, you're realizing now, this is just an object, like a helmet of deception, forced over your skull to constrict your ability to think freely. The word freedom here, blithely, dishonestly, deceptively used, when in fact, propaganda, conditioning, deception, this is a panopticon of absolute deception. You're being constantly surveilled. You're being constantly lied to. You're being constantly censored. And the information you're being fed by these people that you're invited to look at as your family is simply not true.
So, Mr. President, I thank you for your decency on behalf of my grandfather. And I thank all of you, almost all of you, for your decency as well.
So there you have it. Are the Biden administration a kind of new family just trying their best? Mama Kamala, old Pappy Joe Biden bombing us to Armageddon, and a whole host of cousins inbred making out in the revolving door between the state to induce globalist deformity. In my opinion, they are. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments and the chat? Now, we can't make this content without the help of our fantastic sponsors. Stay with us because we have got a magnificent interview from a man who knows inside and out the machine that has to be taken apart in order for us to survive. Stay with us after this message. Thank God for our commercial partners. They make our life better, and particularly in the case of True Lean's Everyday Wellness, which is an all-natural 9-in-1 powder that boosts immune health, reduces inflammation, promotes gut health, including vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B12, zinc, turmeric, and echinacea. It's a potion of pure wonder. Everyday Wellness, backed by science, inspired by Mother Nature herself. All you got to do is stir these sachets into water and enjoy. Unless you've got one of these glorious big bags. Look, this is like the parent. There, it's sort of like cells that are within it. There, it's infants. It's tadpoles, as it were. Control your health without prescription. Take that, Big Pharma. I'm feeling better already, and I can just feel Pfizer's stock price plummeting. Spicy citrus tastes like sipping on sunshine. Let me have a sip of that sunshine. The inner light of the Lord is shining from within me. You can visit TrueLean.com, code BRAND25 for 25% off. Use the code BRAND25, get 25% off. They'll know we work. I tell you what it feels like. It's spicy. It gives you a zing. It's life itself. Now, I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles in Europe, this is only available in the United States of America. If you get some of this, if you don't feel the benefit within 30 days, TrueLean will buy it back from you. Even if the bag's empty, you can send them this empty bag. You could even put something in there. I don't know. A stool, a rabbit's paw. They'll give you your money back. That's how confident they are in this product. Try Everyday Wellness for yourself today. You deserve it. TrueLean.com. Use the code BRAND25 for 25% off. Let them know I sent you. It works well for us. God, this stuff's delicious. I can't get enough of it, but then I have an addictive personality. Let's get back to the content. Dennis Kucinich is coming up on the show. Now, if you're watching us on YouTube, we're not going to stream this interview there, because I want Dennis to be able to speak freely about his experiences as an insider and how he's awakened now to the necessity for new and independent politics, about what he thinks about the escalating wars. So, hopefully the countdown's running now. And we're leaving YouTube. Click the link in the description because we are going for another 40 minutes of fantastic content where we're going to get inside. Let's have a look at Dennis right now. Dennis, are you there, Dennis? It's good to see you. Hi, Dennis. Good to see you, mate. Thanks for joining us. Can I have Dennis's audio on the floor, please? Hi, Dennis. I'm so flattered that you would join us.
Well, you know, I've looked forward to this opportunity to be with you.
Thank you. Click the link in the description. Join us over on Rumble. Dennis, it's a great privilege to speak to you. You saw that our main story today was focused on the escalating threat of nuclear conflict. I wonder, knowing what you do from about how Congress operates internally, about what contingency there is for nuclear war, how a lay person like myself could predict that escalating tension with Russia would lead to a standoff of this nature, and why we're being presented with this spectacle by an administration that seems to be framing itself in preparation for the November elections as a safe pair of hands.
Yeah, I mean, we can't look at nationhood as where it is right now, which is a precondition for war in a run-up to an election. America has to take a different direction here. We have to realize that Russia is responding to a long series of events, beginning with NATO's encirclement program, the 2014 overthrow of the Ukrainian government, the missiles that are now being sent, the drones that are being sent towards Russia, the $61 billion that was just appropriated by Congress, most of which is going to the military in the U.S. to create arms, to have war with Russia. So look, this dialectic of conflict we're in, nuclear war isn't anything to mess with, obviously, but the fact that it's now in the discussion, whether it's from a TV person in Russia or not, has to wake people up that we're screwing around World War III and that we need to start pulling back and talking with each other instead of a war of words, which it could escalate into a nuclear exchange.
How is it that the Biden administration are able to frame themselves as, and indeed not only the Biden administration, I actually would like to fold into this, if I may, Dennis, the media establishment. Say, for example, if you take MSNBC anchors or, you know, Jen Psaki, when they speak about the current DOC in the Democratic Party, excuse me, in contrast to the Republican Party and under the auspices of a figure like Trump, what we've been invited to accept is that it's the grown-ups versus petulant, psychopathic, demagogic, 20th century style tyrants. But I'm beginning to think that if you were neutral, it would be safer to vote for Donald Trump than to vote for Joe Biden. That administration is hell-bent on war. That if you're looking for a safe pair of hands, the often declared small hands of Trump would be safer than the mad, arthritic, potentially red button intent finger of Joe Biden. Do you think that's a reasonable argument? That they're not rational. They're not the grown-ups. They're kind of vampiric psychopaths.
Well, there's a couple different elements here based on what you just said. First of all, the media is typically a spear carrier for the government. It's only seldom that the media has taken on the government as it did during the Pentagon Papers era. What we have is a repetition of government propaganda that goes on. Now, with respect to the candidates that are in this race, I'm not taking the side of either candidate or any of the candidates. What I am saying is that we need to take a different approach as a nation. America needs to be a nation among nations, not a nation above nations. This idea that somehow the rest of the world died and left us in charge has to go out with the dodo bird, because we as a nation cannot afford this arms buildup. 56% of our discretionary spending went for the military, and is more than $1 trillion in add in the intelligence, so-called intelligence spending. I think that America right now has to pull back, change its direction. Otherwise, we're headed towards a much wider war, no matter who the president is. You know, remember, Trump was clueless about the deep state, and they were attacking him from every direction. And I don't know if and him being in the dock right now, I guess, is an extension of that. But we just have to keep in mind that we're dealing not with individuals and their personalities. We're dealing with a whole extension and archipelago of government that is global.
Yes, that really does seem apparent. Are we naive to think that any occupant of a entrenchant set of systems could deliver meaningful change while operating within a paradigm that seems to be restrictive by its nature and designed to prevent the kind of changes that are necessary? A simple example would be this. If there were a referendum on the $95 billion aid package that's just been granted to the collective interests of Ukraine, Israel, and some imagined and projected threat against China regarding Taiwan, if there was a referendum on that, I don't imagine that $95 billion bill would be passed in the, with the effortlessness through which it was its lubricated pathway through both the Senate and Congress. So what we have there is a disjunct between the establishment and the people that it governs that's it sort of is distinct and maybe irreconcilable. So why are we not discussing the possibility of referenda, decentralisation, the ability for ordinary people to... The arguments that are made, Dennis, around handguns by people that are anti-gun. They say when the Bill of Rights and the right to bear arms was passed, you didn't have semi-automatics, you had muskets. Well, at the same time that the Constitution was designed, it wasn't possible for everybody to have immediate democracy and immediate referenda and representation through fully immersive technology. So why are we pretending we need this sort of rather croaking, corruptible and deeply corrupted model of democracy or representative republicanism or whatever people want to call it? Why are we pretending that there isn't a better way?
Well, first of all, you're right, if the American people had a direct vote on whether to spend $95 billion more for wars against other countries at a time when real wages are going down and rents are going up, the cost of housing is going up, cost of childcare, food, every essential of life is going up, inflation is taking a big chunk out of people's expendable budget. When you look at that, people, of course, they wouldn't vote for a war. But what happens? The Congress is captive. And the Congress is supposed to vote the will of the people. That's what the whole idea of government of the people. But it doesn't happen that way. It's not working that way. And so that's why today people have to pay attention to what's happening in the congressional races. Because if a member of Congress is voting against your interests and people have an obligation to start checking how their member's voting, then you're the one, the referendum then becomes in November, so you vote to replace that individual. So, you know, this whole idea about a democracy or republic, whatever anyone wants to call it, is a government of the people, but it's not happening right now. It's a government of special interests. It's a government of the military-industrial complex, which really doesn't care if there's a war or not, as long as they keep on making it. But you can make more, as they're doing in Ukraine and in the Middle East, if you can keep the tensions going and you can create this dialectic of conflict. So I'm running as an independent because I know that this dichotomous thinking, which characterizes U.S. policy, has to be broken, that there has to be a way to say, look, there's another way of looking at the world. And of course, the dichotomy doesn't even exist anymore in a sense because you have a unipolar government pretending that America is at the apex of a unipolar world.
Yes, and it does seem that that is the determining factor in many of the conflicts we're describing. And of course, you are running as an independent candidate for Ohio's 7th congressional district, and you've just mentioned the significance of that position. Realistically, though, when it comes to a bill like that that has just been passed, although there are notable exceptions that have spoken out against it, and I think 21 people in Congress voted against that bill, they were all Republicans, and in the Senate, Massey and of course, Rand Paul spoke out against the bill, as well as the, you know, the 702 surveillance bill. I just wonder, Dennis, when it comes to something as complex as the arming of nations that are involved in conflicts that a significant number of people don't agree with, how you are able to represent those interests and rather than just rhetorically airing them, actually ensure that those interests are served, which is, of course, the dynamic that we believe is in place, or at least that's explicitly what's supposed to be happening. No one believes that's what's happening.
Well, the mythic dimensions of government of the people is what people have a say in what's going on. But keep this in mind, since 9/11, America has spent about, you know, we've increased the deficit to $34 trillion. $8 trillion of that is due specifically to the wars since 9/11. Now, that's about, that equals about $97,000 per family of four in America. Would people willingly give that up? No. But our basic way of life has been undermined since then by the government's decisions to continue war. We went in war against Iraq. It was based on lies. I led the effort against that war. We waged war against Libya. Should have never done that. It was a total disaster. We're spending money for war, and that leads to a destructive undermining of our quality of life here in this country. This whole idea about guns and butter at the same time, don't kid yourself. I mean, more and more of our budget is going towards war. And, you know, this, you can go back to Sparta or Athens. We are militarizing our society, militarizing our thought, militarizing our consciousness to the point of where everything, everywhere we go, we bring a hammer and everything we look at is a nail.
This is fascinating, Dennis, and that's why I want you to come and join us now to hear the answer to this question. When the Iraq war was being augmented, designed under the auspices of a lie, it was the hawkish Republicans that coalesced and drove us towards war and towards more surveillance and towards more censorship. And yet now the party of war is the Democratic Party. What changed, Dennis? Answer that question. Join us for the answer.
Yeah, I think what happens is this. The congressional party when the Democrats were in charge in the White House, the Democrats generally will be following the executive. The congressional Democrats will follow the executive. Same things happen when the Republicans are in charge. You have a Democratic president, the Republicans will resist. A Democratic president, the Democrats will go along. During 9/11, you had a Republican president, you had Democrats in Congress who went after that president. But my view, Russell, to get right into the nitty-gritty of that, a war which cost America anywhere between $3 and $5 trillion, depending on who you talk to, 1 million Iraqi lives, 5,000 American men and women who served the country killed, all based on lies. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Al-Qaeda's role in 9/11 did not have anything to do with the anthrax attack. Did not have weapons of mass destruction, was not a threat to America, had neither the intention or capability of attacking America. And so what do? We waged war, we killed all those people, and the people who told us those lies. Remember, I held an impeachment legislation towards President Bush and President Cheney for lying to the American people. But the people who lied, no consequences. The people who are lying to us now take us into wars around the world. No consequences. This is an example of what happens when government is out of the reach of the people, when government is not responsible, when the media simply parrots a government line. This is a dangerous moment in American history, and it really needs to take a different direction. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running as an independent. To imagine this, Russell, 217 Republicans, 217 Democrats, and one independent, me. And I'm ready to take up that challenge because I believe this country not only deserve better, but we need to change the narrative. That right now, the narrative muzzles free speech. It wants to dismantle TikTok, suppress campus protests, do away with Assange and all the whistleblowers, broadcast atrocity propaganda. We need to change the narrative. And that's one of the reasons why I intend to go back to Washington with the support of the people, of course, of the 7th District.
Dennis, isn't it exhausting to maintain a degree of enthusiasm and optimism, knowing, as surely you must, that it is the infiltration of finance into the political realm that entirely dominates and controls outcomes? That as long as you have a Congress that represents donor interests, as long as you have a Congress where there are lawmakers that invest in companies that benefit from war, or in the case of Nancy Pelosi, it appears that she has incredible insight when it comes to the fluctuations in the big tech market. As long as there is money in politics, politics in the way that there currently is. Isn't it impossible and naive at best to imagine that we could actually implement the kind of changes that I think all of us recognize is necessary?
Well, first of all, in my case, I've served in Congress for 16 years the first time, and I won most of my elections while being outspent by the opposition without taking any money from corporations at all. Since the advent of Buckley versus Valeo and Citizens United, Supreme Court cases which essentially let corporations control the American political system, the ability to raise money over the internet has never been more important. I mean, that's how I rely on getting into office. When I'm taking on these interest groups, I raise money over the internet. Kucinich.com is the website that people can go to. But that what that does, that enables me to be free. Most members, when they get to Congress, they go to their respective party headquarters, they get a book about this thick, and that book then tells them all of the political action committees to call. And when they make that call, they're putting a hook into themselves, and sooner or later, the members are just filled with hooks and they can't represent their own district. So, you know, this problem that you talk about is the most serious problem in our democracy. It enables interest groups to control the Congress. And, you know, one of the things that I've been able to do with the help of a lot of people is to be a free agent. So, I can't be bought and I can't be bossed. And that puts me in a position of being able to make a difference. And one final thought, Russ, I'd like you to think about this. You know, I have a little cartoon I keep at my desk, and it's of a guy who is carrying a wheelbarrow full of hot coals as he saunters through one of the lower circles of hell. And you've got two of his bosses in a higher circle looking at him walking through hell, pushing his wheelbarrow full of hot coals. And one devil supervisor said to the other devil supervisor, well, they're looking at this fella, you know, I don't think this guy gets it. Well, I get it, okay? I get what's happening in Washington. And I think that one person can make a difference. But you cannot do it if you come with compartmentalized thinking, us versus them, wherever they are, and a belief that war is inevitable. I believe that peace is inevitable. But we have to embrace and embody principles of peace in our consciousness. And part of the problem, America's gripped right now by a false consciousness which says war is inevitable, and as a result, war becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you know what? We need to break that, and I intend to do that.
Dennis, do you think that the emergence of Trump and of Bobby Kennedy latterly is an indication that there is an appetite for anti-establishment candidates? And do you think that, in effect, Trump is an independent that has marshalled the Republican Party around him, albeit a libertarian or however you want to categorise Trump? Oh, someone's posted that. Someone's posted that cartoon, the wheelbarrow cartoon you just talked about. Someone posted it. It's a deal, not deal, but it's that Far Side. It's a Far Side cartoon. I just saw it. Someone posted it on our Awakened Wonder Chat, our locals community there. Cool. That was cool to see that. I like that. Do you not think that, in a sense, the American people are really tired of the Uniparty, and in effect, that's what the Trump phenomena is about. Now, you can, and I'm sure you will, quibble about Trump in office and whether or not Trump acted like an independent, whether that's in the pandemic or the way that he handled taxation. Or a lot of people now in the chat on Rumble will be saying, you know, no wars under Trump, plenty of wars under Biden. I just wonder, Dennis, if really, until we start to look at either alliances that transgress the former categories or real empowerment of ordinary people, it's difficult to penetrate what Mike Benz and others have called the blob, the set of interests that are so embedded that they can't really be affected by the kind of contained discourse.
Right. Russell, whether you call it the blob, the deep state, the permanent government, there is such a thing in Washington. You know, when I raised that issue years ago when Trump took office, I was working at Fox News for a while, and I saw what was going on, where these interest groups inside the government were actually attacking not just Trump, they're attacking the presidency. That's a problem, you know, because the president of the United States, no matter who the president is, needs to be able to exercise an executive function. And there was an attempt to restrain him from anonymous sources. Now, can an independent, can a person who is independent of thought be elected president? Yes. Now, Trump's election came as a result of Democratic failures on trade agreements, which didn't have workers' rights, human rights, or environmental quality principles. The deindustrialization of the Midwest accelerated because of those trade policies. I voted against China trade because I understood that when we send our jobs over there, what we're going to import are the values as well of China. And we exported our own values and didn't, they weren't registering in other countries. We gave up some basic rights here. We've seen the United States economy get undermined, our strategic industrial base evaporated in many areas of the country. So I, you know, no matter who's elected president, they need to have an independence of thought. They cannot be a tool of a party. They cannot be someone who's going to be pushed around by interest groups. Now, whether it's Donald Trump, Robert Kennedy, or if Biden suddenly expresses, President Biden expresses a new quality of independence, that remains to be seen. But the American people, I think, are very concerned that our leadership is moving away from the things that really matter to Americans. Freedom, certainly, but economic freedom. You can't have political freedom if you don't have economic freedom.
Do you sometimes sense with the escalating surveillance and censorship that is being legitimized, legislated for and introduced globally, but particularly in your country, that there's a sense that something very powerful is fermenting, that the reason that there that various pillars of the establishment are creaking and grinding and working so hard to impose banal bureaucratic forms of tyranny is because they sense that there is something quite profound and spiritual burgeoning and waiting to erupt?
Oh, I think absolutely that's happening. When you look at the effort of government, let's say in America, we'll talk about here, to in passing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act amendments to enable government to spy on more and more Americans, reach even deeply into Americans' private lives where government doesn't belong, frankly, to vitiate our Fourth Amendment, which protects against unreasonable search and seizure. Why does that happen? That comes from government being fearful of the people. And government uses fear as a weapon, too. They use fear as a weapon to build a military budget. They use fear as a weapon to control people. And when people start to resist that control, when they say, wait a minute, this isn't what freedom means anymore. You're changing what freedom means. Freedom means get government out of my life on the things that matter to me personally and privately. And so, you know, when you have the FBI having all of these FISA searches, millions of searches of Americans where they're... unwarranted searches start to proliferate. This assault on sensibility, it's an assault on our Constitution, and it's something that I think Americans are sick of. And, you know, basically, a government's going to be redefined here. And as American government gets redefined, so the world is going to be looking at that. There is an interchangeability here between America's status and the status of other countries as well. People look towards America, and the changes that are happening in America, what's happening on campus, for example, could provoke some revisiting of some of these very issues that we're talking about.
On campus, I suppose what you're talking about is the kind of pivot when it comes to the subject of free speech, because pro-Palestinian marches are being censored and reviled by interests that were formerly supportive of free speech in a broader context. That's something that we can discuss in a moment when we go over to locals with our Awakened Wonder community. We'll also be asking you, Dennis, with your permission, because on this channel, we're all about conviviality and collegiate conversation. Fire Girl 2020's question that pertains to this. Dennis, she says, because I happen to know her, she's a member of our Awakened Wonder community and a cyber friend. Dennis was once cancelled for admitting to a UFO sighting. What does he think of recent UFO disclosures by the Pentagon? And why now does he think, what do you think about that? Now, we'll also be asking whether or not, Miss Molly's question, do you ever collaborate with Thomas Massie or Rand Paul on how we can stop funding these wars? We'll also be asking you, Janice Six's question. Dennis, do you think they'll stop separate state laws in order to bring about another lack of freedoms? Maybe that's about abortion. All of this we will discuss with our Awakened Wonder community, as well as I'm very interested in your views on spirituality as a recent convert to the Christian faith and a recently baptized man. So, Dennis, will you stay with us for another 10 minutes or so of conversation, please, sir?
I'd love to. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so if you're watching us on Rumble now, we love you, we adore you, we admire you, we appreciate you. Remember, become an Awakened Wonder. We're posting a link right now in the chat. If you use the code ISURRENDER, you get a month free. You can cancel anytime if you don't enjoy the meditations, the book club, the additional content that we provide. If you don't like the idea that you are providing us with resources to march forward gloriously together, let's start getting into this stuff. I want to welcome some of our new members like Yo Dabba, Magic Man 314, Stephen GH, Kathian 62, and Shaktifull. They will be joining us for this conversation, I'm sure, like Ashella, she's in the chat, and Katie Beth. Get over there, introduce yourself to this fantastic community, and join me and Dennis for a little bit of a chat. Thanks for joining us today. Now, tomorrow we will be back, and we are covering so many subjects. We'll be talking about RFK and Trump, I'm sure. We will be talking about so much more. So join us then. Get in the stream early. Begin the conversation. Let us know what you want us to talk about. We will join you tomorrow, not for more of the same. We'd never insult you with that clap trap, but with more of the different. Until then, if you can, stay free. Many switch in, switch on, switch off, switch many switch in.